What's wrong with me? The doctor said, what? You claimed you knew what's wrong with me. Physically, at least. So let's hear it. What is this, an audition? Don't pretend you don't need one. Go to hell. I'm functioning. Prove it. I know what you did, the guy said. I don't know how. What did I do? You strained everything from your flexor digiti minimi brevis to your quadratus lumborum, both sides of your body, just about symmetrically. Try English, not Latin. You damaged every muscle, tendon, and ligament associated with moving your arms, all the way from your little fingers to the anchor on your 12th rib. You've got severe pain and discomfort, and your fine motor control is screwed up because every system is barking. Prognosis? You'll heal. When? A few days, maybe a week. You could try aspirin. Reacher drove on. He cracked his window an inch to suck out the bourbon fumes. They passed a small cluster of three large homes, set close together, 100 yards off the two-lane road at the end of a long shared driveway. They were all hemmed in together by a post-and-rail fence. They were old places, once fine, still sturdy, now maybe a little neglected. The doctor turned his head and took a long, hard look at them, and then he faced front again. "How did you do it?" he asked. "Do what?" Reacher said. "How did you hurt your arms?" "You're the doctor," Reacher said. "You tell me." "I've seen the same kind of symptoms twice before. I volunteered in Florida after one of the hurricanes a few years ago. I'm not such a bad guy." "And?" "People who get caught outside in 100-mile-an-hour wind either get bowled along the street or they catch on to a cyclone fence and try to haul themselves to safety, like dragging their own body weight against the resistance of a gale. Unbelievable stress. That's how the injuries happen. But yours aren't more than a couple of days old, judging by the way you look. And you said you came in from the north. No hurricanes north of here. And it's the wrong season for hurricanes anyway. I bet there wasn't a hurricane anywhere in the world this week. Not a single one. So I don't know how you hurt yourself. But I wish you well for a speedy recovery. I really do." Reacher said nothing. The doctor said, "Left at the next crossroads." They got to the Duncan house 5 minutes later. It had exterior lighting, including a pair of spots angled up at a white mailbox, one from each side. The mailbox had Duncan written on it. The house itself looked like a restored farmhouse. It was modest in terms of size, but immaculate in terms of condition. There was a front lawn of hibernating grass with an antique horse buggy parked on it. Tall, spoked wheels, long, empty shafts. There was a long straight driveway leading to an outbuilding big enough to have been a working barn back when work was done around the place. Now it was a garage. It had three sets of doors. One set was standing open as if someone had left in a hurry. Reacher stopped the car, level with a path that led to the front door. "Showtime, doctor," he said, "if she's still here." "She will be," the guy said. "So let's go." They got out of the car. Chapter 4. The doctor took a leather bag from the back of the car. Then he repeated his uphill, drunk guy stumble all the way along the path, this time with more reason, because the gravel surface was difficult. But he made it unassisted to the door, which was a fine piece of old wood with glassy white paint carefully applied to it. Reacher found a brass button and laid a knuckle on it. Inside, he heard the sound of an electric bell, and then nothing for a minute, and then the sound of slow feet on floorboards. Then the door opened a crack and a face looked out. Quite a face. It was framed by black hair and had pale skin and frightened eyes at the top, and then a red-soaked handkerchief pressed tight at the apex of a triangular red gush that had flooded downward past the mouth and neck to the blouse below. There was a string of blood-soaked pearls. The blouse was silk, and it was wet to the waist. The woman took the handkerchief away from her nose. She had split lips and blood-rimed teeth. Her nose was still leaking, a steady stream.
"You came," she said.
The doctor blinked twice and focused hard and turned down his mouth in a frown and nodded. He said,
"We should take a look at that."
"You've been drinking,"
the woman said. Then she looked at Reacher and asked,
"Who are you?"
"I drove," Reacher said.
"Because he's drunk?"
"He'll be okay. I wouldn't let him do brain surgery, but he can stop the bleeding." The woman thought about it for a moment, and then she nodded and put the handkerchief back to her face and opened the door wide. They used the kitchen. The doctor was drunk as a skunk, but the procedure was simple, and the guy retained enough muscle memory to get himself through it. Reacher soaked cloths in warm water and passed them across, and the doctor cleaned the woman's face and jammed her nostrils solid with gauze and used butterfly closures on her cut lips. The anesthetic took the pain away, and she settled into a calm and dreamy state. It was hard to say exactly what she looked like. Her nose had been busted before, that was clear. Apart from that, she had good skin and fine bone structure and pretty eyes. She was slim and fairly tall, well-dressed and solidly prosperous, as was the house itself. It was warm. The floors were wide planks, lustrous with 100 years of wax. There was a lot of millwork and fine detail and subtle pastel shades. Books on the shelves, paintings on the walls, rugs on the floors. In the living room, there was a wedding photograph in a silver frame. It showed a younger and intact version of the woman, with a tall, reedy man in a gray morning suit. He had dark hair and a long nose and bright eyes, and he looked very smug. Not an athlete or a manual worker, not a professor or a poet, not a farmer either. A businessman, probably, an executive of some kind. An indoors type of guy, soft, with energy but no vigor. Reacher headed back to the kitchen and found the doctor washing his hands in the sink and the woman brushing her hair without the help of a mirror. He asked her, "You okay now?" She said,
"Not too bad."
Slow and nasal and indistinct.